to kind of get our brains ready for what that should look like and what that should mean. And we're going to take Advent even in a slightly different direction this year. So, to frame this week's teaching, we have a video. Kendra's asleep at the wheel. We have a video. This is a good video. Should we say grace for the food now? So, Lord, in about an hour, we're going to eat food. And we pray for that food, that you would bless it to... Oh, here's a video.
Advent, you think, are you...
What do you mean?
Advent. You think, do you have hope for a coming king?
You know, man, that's a good question. I have to hope in knowing that the king is already here. I can't wait for something to happen. You know, it's that's not enough to keep me in this thing. I've got to know that that the king has already made it, and that we're on the same page. You know, that's that whole Advent thing. Matter of fact, I have wrestled with it ever since becoming a Christian, because whereas I understand that Jesus came, if he's resurrected, I don't have to wait for him to come back when all indication points to the fact that he's still hanging out with us, you know. And that's really why I'm a Christian, because of the resurrection. I was dialoguing with some young friends of mine recently, all of whom became followers of Jesus as a result of our encounters. And they were reminding me that they were followers of Jesus because of the resurrection, you know. And they told me very, very candidly, like, Rudy, if he ain't alive, I'm out. And I had to understand that, because I really believe the same thing. If he ain't alive, I'm out.
I don't know if you've ever thought that, like, heading into Advent. Like, we spend a lot of energy at Christmas time remembering Christ and almost forgetting that he's already here. So today I want to talk to you guys from the topic of he's already here, from Luke 9:1-6. And this will also count as part of our hope message for next week. So could you put up the scripture for me, Kendra? Next one. Thank you. Luke 9:1-6 says, "And he called the 12 together," this is Jesus, and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. And he said to them, take nothing for your journey, no staff, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not have two tunics. And whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart. And wherever they do not receive you, when you leave that town, shake off the dust from your feet as a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the villages, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Father, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you that scripture is alive and well, and it's ready to teach us if we're ready to listen. So God, would you be here in our midst like we know you are, and would you speak to our hearts, would you speak to our minds, and fill us with hope today. In Jesus' name, amen. So the definition of hope is probably a good place to start. A feeling of expectation and desire for certain things to happen. Like, I am hoping for a better life. Hopefulness, optimism, expectation, expectancy, more confidence, faith, trust, belief, conviction, assurance, promise, possibility, a hope filled with life, or even a feeling of trust. Hoping for something. But how do you hope for something when it's already here? What if we could get our brains around the fact that we celebrate and we remember the coming of Christ through the Advent season, but at the same time, the thing that we celebrate hoping for is already here in our midst? Hope is a funny thing to have, though, without an outlet. So is joy, peace, love, and ultimately Christ. And Advent being the celebration of expectation, it then puts the scripture for today into the context of the almost the apprenticeship that the disciples had to deliver hope to the world. So we know that at one point we have what's called the Great Commission. And so the Great Commission is this time when Christ said, okay, now all the stuff I've taught you, just go do it. You've got all the power you need. You've got all the teaching you need. You've got all the stuff in your brain and your head and in your heart. And I've given you the power, or I will give you the power through the Holy Spirit. So just go and do that. But this scripture that we're at right now is kind of like an apprenticeship of dispatching hope to the world around them. But the hope that they're dispatching, it's like the guy in the video. I love those videos so much. When he said, that's not enough to keep me in this thing. Could you imagine wrapping our heads and our emotions around hope to the degree that we understand how incredibly powerful supernatural hope is? It's not just a fancy word, because it's the hope of Christ. It's the hope that Christ puts in our hearts. That's nothing that we can look at lightly, because it's something so incredibly powerful delivered from the God who created the universe and raised his son from the dead. A hope that is so real that if you take it away, we have nothing left. And we know that Jesus is already here. He was born, crucified, resurrected, and sent his spirit. And we follow because he is alive in all of us and all around us. And we care about the things he cared about. We work at building the things that he worked at building on the levels of global and local and even personal. And so we work at these things and we try to understand hope, and we look at our society and we try to find the best in it, but at the same time, there's all these little pockets of people, and it's like, good Lord, they need hope. How do we give hope? And so as we look at this this simple apprenticeship, there's these life abilities that we look at, and it kind of, to me, starts to make sense of how do we dispatch hope. And so I've got 3 points I want to talk about. And I'm not going to keep you long today. I was joking about like preaching for an hour. No, so it's okay. Don't worry. Because we need to eat food. But I have 3 points for you today on this process and how we can be involved in this process. And the first one is power and authority. And it's interesting that he continues with, and he gave them power and authority over all demons to cure diseases. So let's try and make that make a little bit more sense. Not in a 1999 white tent sort of a way where we're like, we got to cure diseases and cast the devils out of. No, like, let's try and make that make a little bit more sense for, sorry if that offended anyone, for today. Let's try it like this, over demons and sickness, over invisible and experience, over senses and the body, over evil perceived and evil realized. I think the most important takeaway out of this little snippet of scripture is we often forget that Christianity is a supernatural religion. We have a supernatural chunk of scripture here. Like, all scripture we believe is God-breathed, no matter how you want to translate that, interpret that. I get all that stuff. I get the errorism in that. But we can't deny the fact that God breathed his words so that we could try to understand him and have a relationship with him. Like, we have an incredibly supernatural religion. We have a God who raised his son from the dead and sent us the same spirit to live within inside of us, which is weird, so that we can do the same stuff and dispatch hope to an entire world. Remembering and knowing the Christianity that following Christ is something so big and so important, we often forget that, and we need reminding of that on a daily basis. But why does this matter to us today? I believe if you came here this morning looking for hope, you're going to find it. And I believe that if you came here this morning with so much hope that you don't know what to do with it, that God's going to give you an outlet to use that hope. That's kind of the beautiful thing about God, is he gives you what you need in such proportions that he wants you to share it. God's economy is very strange. The second thing that pops out at me out of this is, we can call it traveling light. Nothing for your journey, no staff, nor bag, nor bread, nor money. And do not have two tunics. You can have one tunic. But if you have two tunics, and we know from various pictures of the disciples and Jesus that we've seen online and throughout history, they generally carry lambs as well. It's a Bible joke. Come on. It's only funny to me. Don't take extra things. And maybe this was like a jab at the thought that this wouldn't be a very long exercise. Like, you guys are going out for the day. You're not going to need a whole bunch of extra stuff. So don't take too many things with you. It could be that. Maybe he wanted them to be able to run like ninjas. Don't need extra things for that. Maybe there was better stuff waiting at their destinations. Maybe. This would easily preach as a prophetic image of minimalism. But it's not that. Hey, I am all about the capsule wardrobe. I only buy plain t-shirts. This is my blue shirt. I only own monochromatic t-shirts, blacks and whites and grays. This is my splash of color in my t-shirt collection. So I get the whole, like, trying to be minimalistic thing. I buy one type of blue jean. That's it. Some are black. But I only buy nudies because you can repair them, and you feel like you're investing in the world somehow and making the world a better place one pair of jeans at a time, because they have told me that's what I'm doing. So I get the appeal of minimalism off of this, and I'm sure I could preach an excellent message and have you throw out a ton of clothing, but that's really not what this is about. Think of it this way. When you are fully prepared for something, like you have planned a trip, for instance, and you have got your route picked out, you know where you're staying, you know where you're eating, like every last detail is ordered to the T. You know everything that you are about to do. You're really leaving nothing to chance. And in the apprenticeship that these guys are going through, this is kind of what's happening. Christ is saying, okay, if you rely on yourselves, you're not relying on me. You're not using your faith. So what I need you to do is just trust that the things are going to work out the way they're going to work out, and don't try to overplan and make Christianity, in our case, something about you. Because it's not about you, it's about me. And then there was the whole concept in here of the Roman consumerism, which is a little bit like Alberta consumerism. Get, take, acquire, collect, become, establish. There were still the attentions in this time frame that, well, Jesus, you were supposed to come to set everything right for the Jewish people, and yet you're not doing it with an army. There were still those tensions that we need bigger, we need better. If we're going to defeat these guys, if we're going to show Rome who's boss, we need to do it with such power. And he's like, oh, don't even take an extra shirt. You guys are fine. Just go dispatch hope. In Christ, happiness, joy, contentment, it comes from trusting and just building a life of faith. And he pushes on it even further with the third point. When he says, whatever house, and I love that word, and it, whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart. Whatever house you enter, stay there. It kind of pushes harder on the whole faith thing. Because how often do we look for what's better? We do this in life, and we do this inside of religion too. We do this inside of church culture all the time. We look for what's better. What's bigger? What's better? What's more impressive? What should we do that is the best? And that's not what God is doing here. That's not what God is saying. He's saying, be content. I'm going to put you somewhere until I call you out of there, until it's actually time to leave that. Be content with where you are. I know when we left working at established churches to plant Neighborhood, It was this switch where we had to be like, okay, God, we're going to have to use a lot more faith, and we're actually going to have to trust you in a startup church to know that you've got everything under control, because there's no more expense accounts. There's no more oops checks. If you have an event that failed or you messed up the building somehow, there's an oops check for that. There always was. There's not in church planting. If you mess something up, will you pay for that yourself? But there's this beautiful reliance that God is calling these guys to in their internship and saying, okay, I need you to exercise faith. It's time for you to trust in me and know that I've got this under control. That until I tell you to move on, it's time for you to stay in that house and push off from there. And it's almost like this, it's almost like he gave them a base of ministry too. Like he gave them a place in their hearts and in a physical place in the dichotomy of this for their ministry. So, sure, they have a house to go out and do their dispatching of hope, healing people and praying with people and curing diseases. But at the same time, he's teaching them that out of here, out of what is being built in here with faith, what's being built in here with hope, that's where you do life. Because if it's not in here, you can't share it. Like, if I'm not a happy person, I can't make you happy. If I don't laugh in daily life continuously or share in joy with other people, how can I just walk up to a stranger and change the atmosphere for them? It's impossible. And sometimes we need to get back to living like Jesus is already here. While we remember the journey, that's good. Remembering the journey is good, and we do that through Advent. And it helps give a framework to Christmas. It helps give a framework for our faith and to come back every year and reestablish these commitments. But if we continuously work out of prophetic memory of what happened, it's hard to remember that we're still supposed to live today. And it's the same thing with looking at prophetic futurisms. I don't know how to word this properly and unoffensively, but if you're in like the rapture crowd and you're continuously looking for like the sky to open up and whatever your belief on that is, that you forget where you're at today, you're missing something. We're called to go into the world and touch it, not to bunker away and remember or hope for something better. If Jesus Christ coming to earth and then sending his spirit isn't good enough, nothing ever will be. It can't be, because that's the best. Tyler, would you come and play your guitar? I always used to get super sad when it was acoustic sets, because I like 9 guitars and loud and abrasive worship sets. But I have come to just absolutely love it when Tyler leads worship from his acoustic guitar by himself. And it makes me so happy. And I love how easily he embarrasses. There's an old song. So my grandma, I loved my grandma so much. So she was this short little Russian lady. And if you look at my daughter, it's pretty much the same thing. My daughter looks just like pictures of my grandma when she was little. So my grandma was this little dark Russian lady. And she loved Jesus so much. And when it got to the point where she was getting older, she would forget everything, absolutely everything. And you'd go over to visit Grandma and Grandpa, and Grandpa would be in the kitchen. He'd be like, "I'm going to tell you a nickname. Use it carefully, people. Say, Microman, come here." Yeah. Like, what's up, Grandpa? He's like, "Your grandma, she's just, she's failing. She's not doing so good." I'm like, "Okay, we'll keep an eye on her." And 5 minutes later, Grandma would be like, "What's up, Grandma?" "Well, your grandpa, he's just not doing good. He's failing. We need to get him in a better home." And so there was this So their memories would start slipping too. And my grandma had one VHS tape. She watched that tape probably 5-6 times a day because she didn't know that it was the same tape. She loved it. So it was this old tape of, like, you know those ones with all the guys and they all sit around and sing hymns? I don't know if you've ever seen those, like the Gaither stuff. And so my grandma would watch this tape over and over and over again. And there were certain songs that she would sing along to. And even if you took her out to a restaurant or just go out for a drive or something, grandma would just start singing. She would just start singing. There was two or three songs, and she would just start getting into these songs. And I know that most of you won't know this, but I want to share the words to this one song. And I'm not going to sing it, but God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Does anybody know this? Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. This Advent season, I want to remember not just the stuff about Christ coming to earth and the baby manger stuff. That's good. That's good. And we're going to go through all that like we do every year. It's good. But I want to remember that he's already here. I want to remember the depth and the beauty of that. I want to wake up every day and I want to say, thank you, Jesus, for what you've given me. Thank you, Jesus, for the change you've put in my heart. Thank you, Jesus, for the hope you've given me today. Not just the hope that he gave me when I got saved, not the hope when I tried to recover from whatever issues I've had in life, but the hope that continues today. It's going to continue tomorrow. It's going to continue the day after that. I want to remember that hope through Christmas this year, through this Advent season. I don't want to be held down to this. It's like it almost gets morbid and sad. And we all sit there and it's like, oh, I just want to remember how amazing Jesus is this Advent season. How amazing he's going to be. Hope is all around us. So this morning, I encourage you to ease into it and to live from it. Because Christmas is for sharing our hope. And maybe even finding some more for yourself. And so this December, we're going to do the heavy lifting for you. Because we, as Christians, we always feel this little bit of pressure. And if you're like new to the faith or wherever you're at in that journey, I hope you never feel this. But we feel these little tinges of pressure that if we're not evangelizing somehow, that we're not doing it right. That maybe we're missing the mark if we don't, like, I don't know, run around handing out those little tracts. It's like, you think summer's hot? You should try hell, or one of those, right? Come on, you've all seen them. They're embarrassing. It's like when you see people handing those out, you want so badly to pretend you... I don't go to church anywhere. I don't know who this guy is. But we feel like if we're not evangelizing properly or enough or we're not being persecuted for our faith, that somehow we're doing it wrong. So this December, this Advent season, we're going to do the heavy lifting for you. So if you feel like there's people in your life and you're like, you know, I think my friend needs hope. I think they need something. This December, our services will all be geared towards dispatching hope and sharing the simplicity of Jesus Christ. A My last thing I want to say this morning is this. I follow Jesus. I wake up every morning knowing that I'm going to do Christianity. I'm going to become better. I'm going to do this Jesus thing. Not because of what could happen. Not because of some prophetic futurism that I probably don't even understand. But because of what's happening now. Because I can look around my city and I can know that God is working. I can know that God is doing things in my world. I can know that hearts are changing, that lives are being restored. And we keep seeing it here over and over and over again. That our God is restoring things. I follow Jesus because I know he's alive and I know he's doing this stuff. All of the other little details, I'm not so concerned about sometimes. I probably should be more so as someone in my position. But I just want to know that I'm loved and that because of that love, I can love other people and therefore give them hope. So Tyler's going to lead us in a song, and then I'm going to pray for you guys, and we're going to eat some food. Sound good?